in the name of Jesus. I don't know how many of you are aware, probably all of you, that the traditional gospel reading for Thanksgiving is the gospel reading we heard today. The account of the healing, the cleansing of the 10 lepers who met Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, between territory that was largely Gentile, populated by those despised Samaritans, and Galilee, a province that was not highly thought of among the more refined citizens of Judea. Now, what do you say when you've preached, "Oh, my ministry has been 20 years long, 21 years, and this reading turns up every 3 years"? What does a pastor have to say about these 10 lepers again after preaching upon them something like 28 times? And I feel like I could preach on them with one hand tied behind my back, blindfolded and hopping on one foot. But even though it may be difficult to find something new to say about these 10 lepers, the one who was the Samaritan who showed exemplary faith in coming to Jesus, and the other nine who took off according to Jesus' instructions to Jerusalem, there's always something new to say about our Lord Jesus Christ, about the one who makes all things new. And indeed, as in all the gospel readings, it is Jesus who is at the center of this reading. For the gospel itself is the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for us, his people. Crucified and resurrected for each one of you. So again, we focus upon Christ in this reading from Scripture, because that is what the evangelist St. Luke would have us do. And that is certainly what the Holy Spirit would have us to do as well. Now again, we know the story of the 10 lepers. They stood at a distance. Forgive me for wanting to add a D to lepers. I don't know why I'm doing that. Anyway, they were standing at a distance from Jesus because leprosy had rendered them unclean. There were all kinds of types of leprosy during this day, and we don't know if this is what is known as Hansen's disease or something else. You know, Hansen's disease, the nose drops off from decay, the fingers drop off, the feet, and the leper is rendered a disgusting sight. At any rate, these lepers were not allowed to interact with society. They were to keep outside of the populated areas, and if they saw anyone passing, even at a distance, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So there the lepers were outside the village Jesus was entering, but instead of crying out, "Unclean, unclean," they lift up their voices and they cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us in our awful condition, this condition that is like a living death, this condition that separates us from others. We'll come back to something, the name Jesus, in just a little while. Have mercy upon us. Literally, show us your mercy, or even mercy as a verb. Mercy us, Jesus. These lepers knew their state was hopeless unless Jesus somehow intervened. They acknowledged him as master, a term generally used here to refer to God, although it could apply to an earthly master as well. According to Old Testament law, if a leper was cleansed of leprosy, he was to show himself to the priest, and the priest was to confirm the cleansing. He was to go show himself to the priest, and the priest would offer sacrifice, and then the leper was received back into the community. So this is what Jesus means when he says to the lepers, go and show yourselves to the priest. Go to the nearest priest and let him confirm the cleansing, the healing. And so off they went on their way. They were obeying Jesus. They were following the Levitical law. And as they went on their way, they were cleansed. The leprosy, whatever disease it was, fell from their bodies. Their flesh, as it is described in of Naaman, became as pure as snow, became like a baby's skin. They're on their way to the priests, but one of them sees he is healed, that he has been cleansed. And here's where Luke tells us something about Jesus, about who Jesus is. He turns back. He praises God with a loud voice, with great enthusiasm, we would assume. And not, oh God, praise you for healing me of leprosy. And then he falls on his face at Jesus' feet. He prostrates himself, assuming an attitude of worship, and he gives Jesus thanks. The word for thanks, by the way, is Eucharisto, the verb, and you know that the word Eucharist is a term for the sacrament of the altar. Jesus gave thanks before consecrating the sacrament, before saying the words of institution that consecrated the sacrament, whenever it was celebrated from that time forth. The words that place in a miraculous way his body, his blood, in the communion elements for you to eat and drink. Not the body and blood of a dead man whose carcass rotted and turned to dust nearly 2,000 years ago, but the body of the living one, the one who makes all things new, the one who conquered sin, death, and the devil for you, the one who removed all of your sins from you by his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death, the one who has made you clean in God's eyes. So God does not see your sins. God does not despise you because of your sins. God does not say, keep away from me, keep away from me. You are unclean. Jesus has cleansed you. Jesus has healed you of this awful disease of sin, its terminal condition. Jesus has saved you. And we'll get back to that in a little bit too. Remember what the name Jesus means? In Matthew's gospel, the angel instructs Matthew that he shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. The word saved is very important. It can also be used to mean healed. And when Jesus says, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well, that could be translated literally as your faith has saved you. And indeed, as Lutherans, we agree with the testimony of Holy Scriptures. We are saved by faith, by God's grace, for the sake of Jesus. Just as this leper's healing was by the gift of grace, as the incarnate one stood before him. And through this interaction with the incarnate one, he was cleansed, he was renewed, he was restored, he was made whole. Let's rewind the tape a little bit. Look at this leper's actions. He does not go to the priest. He does not go to the temple. Instead, he turns back to Jesus. He praises God, and then we are told he falls on his face at Jesus' feet and gives him thanks. This is all one action, all one sentence. Jesus is identified here as God. To praise Jesus, to thank Jesus, is to thank and praise God. The one who enables us to know the triune God. The one who was made flesh for us. The one who took upon himself the frailties of our sinful flesh, that he might take upon himself all of our sins, the sins of everybody. By his stripes we are healed. He bore our diseases on the cross. When we are sick, when we are suffering, when we are troubled by a guilty conscience because of our sin, Jesus does not say, "Get away from me, you are unclean." Instead, he invites us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you will find an elephant in the pulpit. You will find rest for your souls." And thus we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus. And through faith in him, we will be ultimately and finally healed at the end of the age. When Christ returns, when he restores us, when he makes us new along with all creation. We come to Jesus to hear his saving word. We come to Jesus to have our sins absolved. We are brought to Jesus in our baptism, and that baptismal reality is something we inhabit day by day. We come to Jesus, and he feeds us with his body and his blood because that is what he delights to do. That's all part of the salvation accomplished for you by his suffering and death. We experience little healings in this life. Common cold, backache. Even larger healings, recovery from a heart attack, that cancer we're diagnosed with going into remission. These little healings are a reminder of the great healing and restoration to come when Christ returns in glory. So, you break a fingernail and hey, it grows back in a couple of days. That's a reminder of the ultimate healing you will experience. You get involved in a bar fight and someone bloodies your nose and the nose is going to heal up. I don't think anyone's been in a bar fight in the last couple of weeks, have they? No? Yeah. Randy? No? You see, God takes care of our bodies. No. He protects us. And even when our bodies will be laid to rest in the grave, as the body of Inez Baird will be laid to rest in our cemetery Tuesday, that body is still under the protection of the triune God. That body is still loved by the triune God. because he made it. And he has redeemed us and restored us through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, take this home with you. Jesus doesn't say, stay away from me, I'm holier than you. He mercies you. He has mercy upon you in the gospel and in word and sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.